Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Verses 17 to 25, Matthew chapter 1. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful, the glorious, and the grace-filled stories that make up the Christmas story. Thank you, Father, for the salvation, the wisdom, the grace, and the blessings that are ours because Jesus did come as the greatest gift the world has ever received. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would cause us to walk in the joy, the power, the grace of the Spirit of Christmas, who is the Holy Spirit, and help us to be witnesses that are on fire everywhere we go, shining for Jesus, pointing people to Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior, and letting the world know that he's the key to everything in life. He is eternal life, and it's for us to fully commit our hearts and our lives to you, Lord, so that we can know you, your joy, and your grace. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for this Christmas season. Father, we just want to take these moments to remember your son, to remember the gift and the joy that he's brought, to remember all the life that he has even now. Father, thank you so much that you bring us new life too. In the same way that you brought Jesus into this world, you can bring us new life too. Thank you so much, Father, as we just praise your name. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We are very honored and blessed to have with us once again, Peter Rosenberger. He is the host of a broadcast here on American Family Radio that airs on weekends called Hope for the Caregiver. Peter, how are you today?
Doing well, Brother Joseph. I thank you for having me here, and I join with you in celebrating this great season, this time of the church, and where we as Christians all rejoice that God did what he said he was going to do, and he sent a Redeemer.
Yes, sir.
And what a great time. I love Christmas time, and I love all the music, and I'm just thrilled to be here with you all today.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us, and I'm going to ask Peter if you'll do this. I'm not going to call him a guest, but your keyboard is almost like another person, sort of. But we're grateful to have you. Would you, whatever song is on your heart, to share, and then after that, I'm going to invite you to tell our listeners about the mission behind the broadcast that you do. But would you share a selection for us?
Well, I love playing Christmas hymns. This is one of my favorites. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you. Love that text on this. And we sing these hymns a lot, but we don't necessarily go back in the text. Charles Wesley wrote this text. Mendelssohn wrote the music. And Charles Wesley, we owe a great debt to Charles Wesley for the hymns that he's written. Listen to this lyric. He said, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays in glory. Born that man may no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing." That we have in there are, and I'm wonderful. It's wonderful at Christmas time that people sing these things, even though a lot of people may not necessarily know what they're singing. Mm-hmm. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Let us thee through lost regain, thee the life, the inner man. O to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And I love the text of these hymns, and I think we've done a terrible disservice to so many in our culture and our world by allowing dust to grow on the hymnal. There are people that have gone through difficult journeys in life, and they wrote about it, and they sang about it, and they sang. This is what they call compact theology, where you take deep truths. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface, stamp thine image in its place. In other words, Jesus, what he said, there's a greater Adam. For in Adam, one man sinned, but there's a greater Adam who came before, and one man we can be raised up to God through Christ. And he's saying, look, what Adam did, Father, you know, blot that out and let us be found in Christ. Stamp thine image in its place. I mean, that's an amazing concept here of what the gospel is all about, and that's what this means at Christmas time. That's why we sing these hymns, because God did what he said he was going to do way back in Genesis. And if that doesn't cause you to stand up and shout, man, I don't know how to help you, because that's great news. If you'll notice, the only time the angels came out in mass to sing through the heavens was at the birth of Christ. Not at the resurrection. We have no account of that. But at the birth of Christ, they did it because against all odds, against all the powers of hell, that child was born.
Amen.
And that's great news. Great news. So I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but I need to hear it.
Amen. Amen. Peter, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today.
Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, and I join with the great hymn writer, Isaac Watts, who said, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." Father, we know that you change not, thy mercies fail not. And we know, Father, that you have, when you decree it with your word, it will come to pass. And you did that way back in Genesis, actually before even the foundations of the world. Father, you purposed this plan of redemption, and we rejoice with this. And we would pray that the listeners of this program, thank you again for Joseph and Isaac and what they're doing here in this time of intercessory. Father, we know that we have a great intercessor for us, who sits at your hand, and that is Christ Jesus, who took our sin and imputed his righteousness to us. That is the gospel. We had no choice. We had no hope. We had no anything other than your mercy that came into our destitute state. And you claimed us as your own, Father. We can't even fathom that kind of grace and mercy. All we can do is raise our hands and say thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you that you effaced Adam's likeness and stamped your own image in its place. And as the great hymn writer said, we lift up listeners, Father. People who are listening right now are going through very difficult times. May we be a privilege to point them to you, Father, their downcast eyes, to say, lift them up. Lift up your heads and see the risen conquering King. And may they be encouraged, Father, by the words that they hear in this program today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Peter. Peter, would you take time now to tell our listeners about the ministry behind Hope for the Caregiver? Probably many of our listeners have had a chance to hear the broadcast on one occasion or another, but then there are those who maybe, for whatever reason, haven't come across it. Would you tell them about the mission behind Hope for the Caregiver?
Well, what is hope for the caregiver? What is our hope? We hear that word hope a lot, Joseph, in our culture, and we confuse it with desire or wish. You know, we're hoping that it'll happen kind of thing, but it's not that conviction. What biblical hope is anchoring faith, that conviction. We are persuaded of this. And hope for the caregiver is that conviction that we as family caregivers can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life. Now, why do I know this? Because I've been doing it for 4 decades, and I've been taking care of a wife who has severe disabilities. And she is facing next month. We go back into the hospital for 2 months, and she'll have her surgery number 87 and surgery number 88. And this has all been going on since she was hurt in a car accident. What have we learned through this process? Well, I've learned what I've just said earlier about what these hymns. That's why I love these hymns. Oh, God, our help in ages past. He has sustained us through this. So when you sing a song like, through many dangers, toils, and snares, well, we live in dangers, toils, and snares. Gracie and I, that's daily for us. Mm-hmm. We have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us this far, and grace will lead us home. That is that conviction that he has us, that we are not outside of his purview, and that my passion is to be able to help my fellow caregivers see these things, things that have sustained me. I feel a stewardship responsibility. I've learned these things. People have spoken this into my life. And more importantly, I have a scriptural mandate. It says, comfort one another with the same comfort that you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. Well, what is the comfort that I've received? I still am a full-time caregiver. My wife still deals with all kinds of stuff. I'm still doing the work. I still have the stress. I still have the fatigue. What is the comfort? My comfort is knowing that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. That is my comfort. That is my hope. Mm-hmm. That is my guarantee, and it is sealed in his blood. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do Hope for the Caregiver, because I want my fellow caregivers to understand this. I want to help them back away from the cliff that they're teetering on, and point them from the despair that's encroaching them, the guilt, the fear, the resentment, all those things, and help lift their eyes to see this risen Christ. That is what I do, and that is why I do it.
Mm. And tell our listeners, if they want to catch Hope for the Caregiver, how they can do that here on AFR.
It's every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central. And then I think it rebroadcast on Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Central. And then you can always get the podcast through Hope for the Caregiver or mine. I put it out as well at peterrosenberger.com. And that's R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R.
All right. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Peter Rosenberger. He is the host of Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Music from Forever Jones with Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Peter Rosenberger. He's the host of the broadcast Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio on Saturday mornings and on weekends. Peter, you have another selection you want to share with us at this time.
Well, I love Christmas music, and I love what you just heard with the Angels We Have Heard on High. That's a great one. What was that? She just say,
Gloria.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry about that. But here's one that a lot of people may not know, but I love this. Johnny Marks wrote the tune, and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this lyric well over 100 years ago. And Johnny Marks wrote Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But he wrote this tune. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet, their words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't know how many know that song. But I wanted to bring one particular lyric to your attention here. Longfellow wrote this in 1864, and he wrote this line, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, what was going on when Longfellow wrote this? Well, America was at war with itself. I mean, we were in the Civil War. It was 1864. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking around at death and destruction. More Americans were killed during the Civil War than all the other wars combined. Mm-hmm. And Longfellow saw this. He saw that, you know, I, in despair, I bowed my head. There's no peace on earth, for hate is strong. And I look at what's going on in our culture. We see this. We see hate. We see division. We see all this rancor. And we would be tempted to say hate is strong and mocks the song. Mm-hmm. But then Longfellow said, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. The bells were crying out, he said. He's took a little poetic license with it. But if you think about it, he's really going back to Luke 19:40 when the Pharisees told Jesus, rebuke your disciples. They're out there praise and so forth, and Jesus said to them, if they remain silent, the very rocks are going to cry out. And I think this is what was in Longfellow's mind, that there's a greater truth that is going to cry out to the glory of God. All creation cries out to the glory of God. And the question I have for ourselves, for me, for you, and for all the listeners of this program, mm-hmm. are we going to be bells that peal out against the despair that's in this world? Or are we going to just wring our hands and bow our heads in despair? In sadness and sorrow and helplessness. No, we're going to testify to the great work of God as believers because of the transformative work of the gospel. So are we peeling bells? That's P-E-A-L-I-N-G. And are we pealing bells that cry out to the glory of God? That's why I love that hymn. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and the wrong shall fail, right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that is the great news of the gospel. And I thought, if Longfellow can write that in the middle of the Civil War, surely we can sing that now.
Amen.
And so that is the higher view of God. And I would say to myself, and please understand, I'm preaching to me here this morning, because I got to hear this every day. I have gospel amnesia, Joseph. I got to hear it every day. And I'm saying, if he's Lord at all, he is Lord of all. And Amen. That is where we place our anchor. So that's why I do the radio program of Hope for the Caregiver. That's why I do these things, because I'm convinced that my wife, when she lost both of her legs, she started a prosthetic limb ministry to put legs on her fellow amputees. And we've been doing that for over 20 years. In West Africa, we've been working with them for years. And her mission was simply, I want to lift them up and point them to Jesus. And if she can do that and cry out from her hospital bed after losing her legs, she did this while she's in the hospital. She was still fresh from surgery. And she looked at me and she said, I know what I'm going to do. I walked in and she had lost her right leg 4 years earlier, and this is her left leg. She still got a bloody bandage on it and drainage and everything else. And she looked at me, she said, I know what I'm going to do. And I kind of stopped for a moment. I said, well, baby, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to put legs on people and point them to Jesus. And I said, well, do you suppose we can get out of the hospital first? And she said, okay, but that's it. So we've been doing that because she understands the greater truth that, you know, hate is strong and mocks the song, but God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. And if we're standing on prosthetic legs, if we're, it doesn't matter. As long as we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, it doesn't matter what we're standing on.
So
and that's what we do. And and it's an extraordinary ministry that is that we're privileged to be a part of. And if you want to see more about it, you can go to standingwithhope.com, Standing with Hope. And you can see, and we take used prosthetic limbs from amputees all over the world, the country, that come to a center in Arizona, a prison, where inmates volunteer to help us disassemble them so we can recycle the parts. And family members of amputees who have passed away, or an amputee who has outgrown a leg, or like a child or so forth, they'll send it in and we recycle those parts. And then we purchase more materials and we send it over there, and they build custom fit legs over there. And we say, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, I give in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And they do. And they go walking and leaping and praising God. And I was over there one time in the clinic, and the waiting room was filled with amputees, Joseph, missing arms and legs and so forth. We do put arms on some. And they broke into a chorus. This is in Accra, Ghana. And they broke into a chorus, and they were all singing, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And you've never heard that song performed until you've heard a room full of amputees in Africa singing it full-throated and believing it as they're waiting to get a prosthetic limb from the ministry that this woman who lost both of her legs started. This is what we do. We comfort one another with the same comfort we ourselves have received from the God of all comfort. And the comfort, yes, is prosthetic legs and all those kinds of things. But the greater comfort is knowing the gospel, that he became flesh and bore this. And he who knew no sin became sin. And he imputed his righteousness to us, and now is risen and can intercede for us, just like your show is about intercessory. We have that great intercessor who is praying for us right now. That is great news.
And, you know, Peter, I appreciate you sharing your heart and just the mission behind Hope for the Caregiver and the work the Lord has called you and your wife Gracie to as well. And praise God just for the grace, the mercy, the love, and the boldness behind your ministry. And I think of this. I once heard a minister make this statement. He said, be kind to everyone because everyone is fighting a hard battle. Well, that's true because of the way life is, but some people are fighting harder battles than others. But one thing that you've alluded to this more than once already, every believer, no matter what their storm or struggles, is called to ministry. In fact, we're called to full-time ministry. And the reality is, in life, in our flesh, we're often tempted to look at our problems, our trials, our storms, and feel sometimes more or less sorry for ourselves. But the reality is God calls us to minister even in the storms, even in the difficulties, and he can use us mightily, even in the storms, as we learn to trust him, just like you've mentioned so beautifully and in such an encouraging way. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that in your love, your mercy, and your grace, you've called every one of your children into full-time ministry. You have work for us to do, and it's work that you want us to do even in the midst of the storms, sometimes as we're coming through the storm, sometimes as we're coming out of the storm, sometimes as we testify on the other side of a storm, but you always have work to do through us. Thank you for that opportunity. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Set us on fire with a passion to be your vessels, to show the world what your love looks like all the time. Thank you again for the work and the ministry of Peter and Gracie and Hope for the Caregiver. Father, anoint that broadcast with a fresh anointing. Anoint the ministry of Standing on Hope and all the other work you've called them to. Prosper the work of their hands and continue to use them as bright, shining witnesses that are pointing people to Jesus Christ. Just like the Star of Bethlehem, help us all to be believers whose lives point people to Jesus all the time. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Peter, do you have another selection you can share with us?
Oh, I think we're not going to run out of Christmas carols.
Okay.
The music is by Handel.
Okay.
Handel wrote the music, who wrote the Messiah, you know, the Hallelujah Chorus and the glory, all the and the text is written again by Isaac Watts, who wrote basically the hymnal that this country used when it was first founded. And we owe, again, a great debt to some of these hymn writers who gave us these great texts. Joy, but listen to the lyrics here. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his room, and heaven and nature sing. And then he goes on to say, "Joy to the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ." I don't have my glasses on. You got to bear with me here. This getting old is not everything it says in the brochure. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains repeat the sounding joys. What I just talked about with that other song about the bells peal out. And then you got that one, he says, and he's coming, as far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. That's just what he's come to alleviate. As far as the curse is found, he's redeemed this. And so we go back and we sing these hymns every Christmas, but do we really pay attention to what we're singing? And I would encourage you, when you go to church this weekend, and when you're at worship service and they're playing these hymns, look at the text and then just sing it full-throated. I mean, don't hold back. If the rocks can cry out, what about us? And, you know, we don't do these things out of a sense of, you know, obligation or begrudgment. We do it because, wow, look at what he has done for us. Of all people, Christians should be exuberant, even in the midst of our difficulties. And if you wait for your hardship to be over before you praise God, you've got we're going to have to have a you're going to have a special show just for that, because Paul and Silas, around midnight after being beaten, were singing hymns. Around midnight, it said in Scripture. Go back and look at the text. And so when we praise him, when we worship, when we lift our heads up to this, no matter what's going on, one of my favorite stories, Joseph, is in Samuel, 1 Samuel, David was at Ziklag. Do you know that story?
Yes, powerful story.
He was there, and the Amalekites came and stole all his property and his men's property, their wives, their families, their animals, and everything. They stole everything. And he came back, and they found everything gone, and they picked up rocks, and they were going to stone him. And it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord.
That's right.
And, you know, can you just picture those guys dropping their rocks?
Mm.
I mean, we haven't got to the point in our life, as bad as it is, and sometimes it's pretty bad for things. Gracie and I have lived through some hard things, but I don't know that I've ever had 600 men standing with rocks around me ready to throw them at me. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what your program is here all about today, Joseph, is encouraging ourselves in the Lord to remind ourselves of these things. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And that is, we don't do this out of a sense of, like I said, obligation or begrudgment. We do it out of exuberance. Look
at
what he has done.
We're going to jump in right there, Peter, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Peter Rosenberger, the host of Hope for the Caregiver, a broadcast here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Music from Toby Mac. Oh, come all ye faithful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 13, it tells us these words. Then Isaiah said, "Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted." Verses 12 through 16. Isaiah chapter 7, a portion of Isaiah's perspective on Christmas. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Peter Rosenberger. He's the host of Hope for the Caregiver. Peter, you have another selection for us at this time.
Oh, we're never going to run out of Christmas music. This is one, it's really fun to play.
Thank you.
can almost kind of feel like the shepherds when it just dissipates and they're thinking, what just happened here? What did we just witness? And I love that hymn. So thank you for letting me play it. I love to kind of play. I wish I could sing. I can't sing. My wife sings. I don't sing.
Well, thank you.
In fact, it's discouraged in most places for me to sing.
You sure play beautifully. So when I get to heaven, I'm gonna ask the Lord to let me play piano like that. So praise the Lord. So
you know, that's how I started playing. I was 8 years old, and I was sitting at this little Wurlitzer keyboard, and I had headphones on in our little living room there in our home, and my dad was a pastor, and I would go up to the piano after church on Sunday and try to play and bang on it, and you know, if people would usher me off, and for good reason. But I sat there at that little Wurlitzer keyboard, and I said, Lord, please let me play the piano. Please let me learn how to play this. And he graciously gave me the ability to do so, and it's carried me through a lot of very difficult times in my life. And last year, we spent Christmas in the hospital, and we were there for 2 months with Gracie having a pretty rough go of it. And I brought a keyboard into the hospital room. I decorated the room, and I had a keyboard in there. It wasn't the caregiver keyboard, but it was a caregiver keyboard.
Okay.
And we sang Christmas carols in the hospital. And from the hospital bed, as I said in the last block there, when the bells peeled out, Gracie was peeling out from her hospital bed. She was singing from her hospital bed these great hymns of the faith and these great truths. And I've heard over the years, she's done that many times in the hospital, and nurses would incline their ear to listen. They would come in, and you could hear sometimes down the hall, and Gracie's got an amazing voice. And but I would play these things in the hospital because, you know what, even in a hospital room, even after her 86th surgery, God was still sovereign. He was still on the throne, and we trusted him. And these are hard things that we live with, and they're certainly not easy, and Gracie's life is not an easy one. But she understands that God has saved her from something far worse than amputation and 86 surgeries, and we give him the glory for that.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, again, our time is almost gone, but you've mentioned that we're going to have the opportunity to hear a song that Gracie will sing shortly. So, but before we get to that, I want to ask you if you'll take a moment to pray specifically for the church. Would you pray for the church and for families and young people? The church, families, and young people. Would you lift them up in prayer at this time?
Absolutely, Father God. We do gratefully come to you with thanksgiving and with our hearts filled with wonder. And as the hymn writer said, and from my smitten heart with tears, to wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and our unworthiness, Father, and what you've done is so magnificent. And we would pray for the church here on earth, the visible church that is ever present, Father, but takes a beating from so much of our culture and our society. May we stand firm. May we peel out. May we boldly proclaim, even from our distress, even from a hospital bed, even from a rehab center, even from a divorce court, even from a funeral home, Father, may we not be afraid to stand firm and rejoice in your sovereignty. Though our eyes be filled with tears, may our face like your son be set like flint as he faced the cross. May ours as well be resolved to serve you regardless. May we be bold in this. And I would pray for the young people that you're rising up today in such a powerful way. We would lift them up and strengthen them and bring teachers to them to help equip them, to disciple them so they can better understand you. May your word go out with such clarity. And may we be good students of that word so that we can properly speak the words of life, sing them over and over again, wonderful words of life. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Peter. Father, too, thank you for your church. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we as your church have of being your vessel to bring the gospel to the world that desperately needs to receive it. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that Christmas is all about Jesus, and the world desperately needs Jesus for all the solution to every problem, every challenge, every difficulty. More and more, help us as the church to be faithful to carry out this mandate that you've called us to go into all the world and make disciples. Help us to be about that business that you've called us to every single day faithfully. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, that we are going to have the privilege of hearing a selection that will be shared by Gracie, who is Peter Rosenberger's wife as well. And again, we're grateful that Peter took the time to be with us today. And so we're going to take time now to listen specifically to a selection by Gracie Rosenberger. Again, a beautiful by Gracie Rosenberger. And again, a wonderful way to invite us to come to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never in your life given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and walk with you in prayer daily. Help me to live a life of obedience to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Let me remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Peter, thank you so much for being with us today. If someone wants to listen to the Hope for the Caregiver or maybe just be in touch with the ministry, tell them how they can do that.
It's very easy. Just go to peterrosenberger.com. PeterRosenberger.com.
All right. And we do encourage all of our listeners to take time to tune in to Hope for the Caregiver on weekends. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.